bloody pond. Fringed with birches and elms, flecked with lily pads with here and there great creamy white and yellow lilies shining out of the dark green, seemed little in keeping with the history of the place. Again, the watchful mother found it necessary to turn on the stream of knowledge, and we were informed that it derived its name from the fact that during the Revolutionary War, the English killed 1,500 women and children and threw their bodies into the pond, since which time the water has been the color of blood. Perfectly awful, said the young ladies.
Shocking, said the swell young clerk, with a glance which gave them to understand that he would protect them in case the Englishman, who just then was looked upon as a member of a family of bloodthirsty cannibals, should show signs of approaching hunger. But just in time to avert an approaching catastrophe, the driver dryly remarked that, excepting the time, number, and kind of folks interested, the young man was pretty near correct.
The facts gathered are these. A party of the French who, after driving the English into their fortified camp at Lake George and were in turn driven back, were seated around the pond at sunset partaking of their evening meal, when they were surprised by a party of English advancing from Fort Edward, who poured in upon them a destructive fire. The French, totally routed, fled in confusion, leaving their dead and wounded on the field, and their blood mingling with the water is said to have turned it red, from which circumstance it received its name. Here we reach the highest point in our ride, and soon we see gleaming through the trees Horican, the silvery water, a pearl in one of nature's grandest settings of emerald and beautiful beyond description. The first full view of the lake is obtained when about a mile distant. And here, my gushing friends, is one of the places where you may go into unlimited paroxysms of ecstasy without fear of piling it on too thick or overdoing the matter in the least. From where the road winds around the hill, down to the border of the lake is a mile of checkered field and wood. In the center, hidden in the groves of pine that line the shore, are the grass-grown ruins of Fort George. On the right, across the valley, is French Mountain sloping down to the lake, where at the point is Crosbyside. On the west, under the shadow of Mount Prospect, lies the little village of Caldwell. A little nearer, and covered with stately pines, are the ruins of Fort William Henry. Close beside them, the hotel bearing the same name. On the high land west of Fort George was the old entrenched camp to which the English fled when pursued by Dieskau. Beyond toward the north, the lake stretches away, dotted with verdant islands and hemmed in by mountains that seem to approach each other until the way is blocked by the misty, dome-like form of Tongue Mountain. As we wind around the side and cross a little gully, the road makes a sudden turn to the right and runs away nearly straight with a descending grade. Here on the left is quite a high hill, on the summit of which are the remains of Fort Gage. At the time of Abercrombie's advance, this slope was clear to the water's edge, and here, one bright day, while awaiting the order to advance, a party of scouts played at the New England game of jumping the stick, and among others, Putnam, Stark, and Lord Howe, the latter jumping highest of them all. Down the long grade, across the hedge, up the little hill, through the arched gateway, around the gravel carriage road, we go at a slashing pace, and bringing up in front of the Fort William Henry, are received by a brigade of uniformed gentlemen from Africa, who appear wonderfully pleased to see us, and whose desire to be of assistance is touching to behold. They charge in battalions from below. They swoop down on us from above. They pounce on innocent satchels, gobble up stray bundles, surround defenseless hat boxes, and invest unsuspecting dusters with a cordon of sooty hands. They entrench themselves in front of harmless waterproofs, forage for umbrellas and canes, and there is no danger of their overlooking an article which, if it can be divided, is fair game for two. Of course, they are actuated only by a laudable desire to be of assistance. And when the pleasant face appears, accompanied by the missing article, it will prove conclusively that your heart is not in the right place if you can stand the mute appeal to your pockets and allow the aforementioned face to disappear without the customary scale. And right here, let me remark that Lake George, like watering places in general, is a scaly place. Even the fish caught are often found covered with them. We endure the ordeal of alighting under fire of 100 pairs of eyes, pass in review before the reception committee, which is a committee of the whole, register and retire to recuperate while the committee on credentials goes up to the big book to find out who we are and where we came from.